give the Lord some praise. Chapter 1, verse 12. You may be seated in this place this morning. Just a little TLC. Just a little TLC. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I won't bother this morning by asking you. I'll just make the assumption that you, like everyone here, myself included, we go through moments, stages, seasons in life. And as we begin to go through those seasons in life, sometimes we find ourselves so deep in mess that we understand the only way that we're going to come out of this is that God fix it.
Amen.
If God doesn't fix this mortgage situation, the house is gone. If He doesn't fix this car note situation, the car is gone. If He doesn't fix this cancer situation, my wife is gone. If God doesn't fix where I am right now, it's over. See, because sometimes God, a loving God, will allow you to be in a position where we have to look at Him and say, only God can fix this thing. The good news this morning is that God is a fixer. Have you ever tried? Do you know God to be a fixer? Has He ever fixed anything in your life? Has He ever took your crooked places and made them straight? Won't God make something out of nothing in your life? If you turn it over to Him, God is not only able to do it, He is willing to do it. Now, the story that we share this morning is kind of an interesting story, but it's one that we all know, we all heard of before. And so this morning, I want to introduce this story of Job, I think, in a very different way. Because I want us, number one, to look at this story of Job from the perspective of a wager. God went to Satan and God said to Satan, have you considered? In other words, God says to Satan, He says, this is what I'm willing to wager. He says, have you considered my servant Job? See, you think all the hell in your life makes your life out of control. I came to tell you this morning that the only reason that you're in a whirlwind this morning is because God said to Satan, have you considered? See, you are right where God wants you to be this morning. But God, how can I be where you want me to be? Because it's ugly right now. It's a bad situation and it's a painful situation and I'm all alone. And God is saying, but that's where I need you to be. But I thought you were talking about TLC. See, sometimes we have to understand that love allows God to do some interesting things in our life. So the first thing is that there's a wager. God comes to Satan and He says, have you considered my servant Job? Don't you wish sometimes that God will ask you before He send you into trouble? Okay, God, you don't even have to ask me. Just give me a 2-week notice that trouble is coming. Okay, God, you don't even have to give me a notice. Just when I'm going through, just speak to me in the midst of my storm to let me know that you're still God. Because you know, when you begin to go through something, it gets really quiet in your life. God says, has I considered Job? See, the wager, He says, is that what I want to do is I want to present to you something or someone in which we're going to have this game over. Now, I love me and I love my life, so in the midst of going through something, the worst thing to feel is that somebody's been playing games with your life. Have you ever had someone was playing games with your life and you were crying and they thought it was funny? Have you ever had someone that was playing games with their life and you showed them love and they wanted to walk out and love somebody else? Can you just love me back? Just a little TLC. So He says, the wager is, has I considered my servant Job? And then He moves from the wager to what is waged. He says, you can have everything that Job has. Now, listen to what God is saying to Job. What God is saying to Job is that everything you have, I know it doesn't have you. See, one of the reasons that we struggle going through something is because we're concerned about what other people are going to say when we lose the house, when we lose the car. Baby, you can take it all, but you can't take my joy, you can't take my faith, you can't take my salvation, you can't take my hope, and if you take all that stuff, I know at the end, I'm getting double for my trouble. So go ahead and take that job. He says, listen, he says, the wage, he says, I'll wager you everything. He says, you can have everything that Job had but his life. So in essence, what he's saying is that even Job doesn't have his life. I came to tell someone that foolishness that you've been doing, that you've been trying to hurt yourself, kill yourself, God doesn't even recognize your craziness because God got a purpose for you. See, you doubted and you've been worried trying to kill yourself, and God is saying, I don't know what you're worried about because I ain't finished with you yet. I don't know what you're standing up all night because I still got plans, I still got purpose in your life. You can take everything Job has, but you can't take his life. See, because I know sometimes in the process of going through something, you just say, Lord, I just want to give up and die. And God is saying, not yet, baby. I still got a turnaround for you. I know it doesn't look like a turnaround, doesn't feel like a turnaround. He says, but I still got a turnaround for you. And see, everything that you begin to go through in life and everything that you confront in life and encounter in life, you have to understand God dropped you off there. I said, God dropped you off there. With him, God dropped you off right there. With her, God dropped you off with her. In the midst of your bills, God dropped you off right there. Don't get me wrong. God could prevent all of that. But how would you know that God is a healer if you never sit? How would you know that he'll make a way out of no way if you never lost? How would you know that he's a bright and a morning star if you're never on the back of the mountain? Every now and then, God has to allow you to go through. God allows you to go through so that you'll know who he is. And so you begin to go through something, and as you begin to go through something, then you discover that the whirlwind that you were in life, all of a sudden the whirlwind ends. And just like you didn't know trouble was coming, you didn't know peace was on its way. One day, we were in the storm and all of a sudden it stopped raining. One day, you were in a storm and all of a sudden the sun came out. And one day, everybody walked out and you had no friend and you end up meeting the right one in your storm. So you didn't owe nobody a praise but God. My enemies wasn't there when God blessed me. Forgive me, I think I need to pay them some. I'm glad nobody wasn't there when God rescued me. So I owe him and he alone a praise. Give God some praise this morning. Give God some praise this morning. See, in the midst of going through something, everything comes to an end. And when it comes to an end, then, when is the last time you had a then moment? Then happiness came. Then joy came. Then I had some overflow. Then I found the right one. Then my haters walked out, my friends walked in. When is the last time you were going through something and then. See, you'll know then when then show up because then don't look like them. You know them that said that you were through, but God says, I'm going to see you through. Them that said you'll never make it, but here you are, still trying. else had, but thank God I had more than I had last year. So I don't live in the same subdivision that you live in. I just want to praise and drink my roof stop leaking this week. I'm not driving what you drive, but I thank God it started this morning. Because last week I couldn't get that thing to start. Now this week it's starting right up. That's what I owe God a praise for. A being moment. God begins to deal with Satan, and it's kind of interesting because God then began to have a conversation with Satan, but he forgot to tell Job that they were talking about him. Seems like God could at least came to Job, who he says, has I considered my servant Job? He's perfect and upright. So it ain't like God didn't know Job. So why couldn't you just say, Job, look out 2 weeks, you know, I'm going to do some things. So God said nothing. Nothing at all to Job. See, sometimes when God stops talking, it means you need to talk more. It means that you need to pray more. It means that you need to seek God more. See, watch this. Some of you are old enough to have conversations with yourself. But as you begin to age just a little bit, Charles Hill, you begin to have some interesting conversations to yourself. You know, you just talk. And see, the world say, it's all right if you do that, just don't answer you. But if the word of God is in me, the answer is in me, it got to come out too. I know I'm going through something. I better talk to myself. The Bible says you better encourage yourself. What do you do when the church doors are closed? You better encourage yourself. What do you do when you come to church and church folk act like they just already in heaven? You better encourage yourself. God didn't talk to Job. He just jumped right over Job. When Job found out what was going on, like a lot of us, Job find himself in a situation, and all Job is trying to do is reach out, and he's trying to obtain something called survival. In the midst of going through something, watch this now, in the midst of going through something, surviving becomes number one. Uh-huh. Right? Wrong. What should become number one is not surviving, but thriving. Watch this. The exchange, the blessing comes, and it came throughout history in the midst of mess, not when the sun is shining. What is a huge obstacle for someone else is an opportunity for you. So stop trying to survive and thrive in it.
Amen.
See, that's your faith right there. That's your faith. Oh, just me, Lord, I'm going through something. And God says, shut up, boy, I am not thinking about you in this thing. I got you. Sit down somewhere. Just go over the corner and pray. Don't you know that he that beginning a good work in you will see you all the way through? Oh, God, poor me. And God is saying, no, baby. I chose you because I know what is inside of you. He says, has I considered Job? Now watch this. God cannot be tempted. He can only be tested. You as a child of God never fall into temptation. Always understand it's not temptation that you submit to. It's always the test. Temptation has a desire and intent to make you fail. The test is to show you what you already know for your promotion. That's why God says, I'll take your enemies and make them your footstool. A promotion, baby. That's why God says, I'll put you all around your enemies and I'll prepare a table right in front of them. Promotion, baby. I'm talking to somebody this morning that you just got promoted and you know you don't deserve it. Because the truth of the matter is they should have fired you, but instead they promoted you. You were even scared when you looked at your check and noticed that there's a promotion. But had it not been for the Lord that was on your side, won't God just do a supernatural thing in your life? Isn't he worthy to be praised? He's worthy to be praised. God comes to Job and he's there with Job, and Job discovered through Satan that he is under attack. And so when he discovered that he's under attack, listen to what God does. Now sometimes God, he loves you, but he'll allow you to go through the process. It is the process that prepares you for the next level in your life. If you never go through anything, you'll never be ready for where you go. See, if you think where you're going is where you are now, then God doesn't even need to waste time with you. Because if you are here and you're one of those who say, well, my best days are behind me, I don't want no part of your life. I want to stand next to someone who says that my tomorrow, my future is brighter than my yesterday. I want to stand in the circle with somebody who says that God is just about to begin something in my life. I want to stand and touch and agree with somebody who sees the goodness of God in my life. See a brighter day ahead. I want some friends around me who tell me, yes, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So God begins to deal with Satan to get to Job. And so God does the funny thing. He walks Job through a process. Now, he didn't talk to Job to get the party started, but now he wants to come back and he wants to talk to Job. Job asks God. Job says, God, in essence, why all this? And God says to Job, nothing. Have you ever been going through something? You really didn't want anybody to change your situation. Just talk to me. Just talk to me. If you tell me something, if you allow me to understand it, it will be all right. I don't need for you to stay. Just tell me why you left. You don't have to tell me why you took from me what you took. Just explain to me what were you thinking in the process. Job asked God a question. God said nothing to Job. But God, you're God, and you say nothing to Job. Where's the love in that, God? When my children are taken from me, where's the love? And that, when I keep going to church, I keep telling people to come to church with me, and how God will do this miracle and this miracle, but my friends keep laughing at me because you haven't done anything for me lately, God. Where's the love in that? Excuse me for speaking your mind. Excuse me for saying out loud what you sometimes feel in your secret closet. Where are you, God, when it hurts me? Oh yeah, I see what you're doing in the life of my neighbor, but I'm not talking about them this morning. I'm talking about me. When are you going to bless me? When are you going to set me free? When are you going to restore my family? When are you going to restore my health? Yeah, I know that you have the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, but I'm not interested in Lazarus. Not right now. What are you going to do for me? Job asked the question. God answered not. And then suddenly, God appeared from the whirlwind. He says, Job, since you're asking the questions, let me ask you a few. Where were you, Job? Where were you, Job? When I hung the stars. Where were you? Where were you, Job, when I told the ocean water to stop right here and go no further? Where were you, Job? Job, where were you, Job, when I spoke into the universe and I created the heaven and the earth? Where were you, Job? In essence, Job, what I need for you to understand is that, do you trust me?
Yes, God.
See, the tea is not tender. The tea is trust. Do you trust me?
Yes,
God. Do you trust me enough to know where I'm taking you? Because you're talking to the Creator. And if I can do all of this universal stuff, certainly I can make a way for you.
Amen.
Do you trust me?
Yes, God.
Yes.
Job, I know you don't understand it. But do you trust me?
Yes.
I know it doesn't feel good. But I don't need you to predicate on a feeling. I need you to trust me right now.
Yeah.
You remember, Job, the wage is, have you considered, Job? See, Job, I need for you to trust me like I'm trusting you with your set of troubles right now. Can I come closer to you?
Amen.
The troubles that you have, God chose you for those troubles. And he says, now, if you abide in me, I'm going to abide in you. And I promise you at the end, you won't be embarrassed. Can you trust me through the process? Because you have to understand that going through the process, even though it doesn't feel good, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. Job, I have purpose in this storm for you. I'm not just playing with you. There's a purpose in mind behind this. I'm trying to move you from one level of glory to the next level of glory. If you allow me to have my way with you, I'm trying to set you up for a blessing. If you just sit down and let me operate in your life, I'm trying to save you to the people that don't promote you. If you'll quit rolling your eyes at folks you don't like. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? He says, Job, let me ask the questions. And he began to ask questions. And it says in chapter number 42, verse number 3, Job says, now since you've asked all those questions, Job says, your ways are just wondrous.
Amen.
Two wonders. Yes, I trust you, Lord. And so now he moves from trust to love. He says, your ways are so wondrous, how can I not love you? I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. How can I not love you? You woke me up this morning in spite of who I was on yesterday. How can I not love you? You're opening doors for me that I thought I shut on myself. How can I not love you, God? I gotta love you, Lord, because you're lovable, God, because you first loved me. You looked down and you saw me, Lord, and in my sins you lifted me. How can I not love you? Time after time, when I didn't feel love, you still loved me. How can I not love you back? When the man walked out and the woman walked out, your love walked in. How can I not love you, Lord? When the doctor said I'm going to die of this cancer thing, but you said that by your stripes you're healed. How can I not love you? There's no greater love.
Amen.
Nobody's greater. Nobody's greater than you.
Amen.
God, everything that I've gone through in life, everything that I've done, whether or not it was my fault or somebody else, you still love me. How can I not love you? I was destined to go to hell and you reached out and you gave me salvation. How can I not love you? Lord, I'm trying to raise 3 children by myself. You barely make it. How can I not love you? Lord, I just got laid off and no check, but you still making a way out of nowhere. How can I not love you? How can I not love you? How can I reject your love? How can I reject the love of God when God loves us so much he gave us his only begotten son? God, I wouldn't even consider giving this world my son. How can I not love you? Because it doesn't feel good? You're still God. Because I don't like it? You're still God. Because I've been in the storm for a long time? You're still God. Because weeping may endure for a day, but one day, the sun has to shine. Your situation has to change. It has to get better. How can I not love you? Job says your ways are too wondrous. I trust you, Lord. And now I love you. Because your ways, Lord, are beyond me. And at the end of Job's story, Job get double with trouble. See, this C is not for care.
All right.
It's for the cross. Oh, don't tell me you care about me. Don't tell me you care. Show me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have. So listen, stop talking about love. Show me some love. Just show me a little TLC, baby. Come on. God is saying, trust me. God is saying nothing. God is saying, understand the power of the cross. He says, show me some love. Show me some love. Watch this in closing. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you up front that I'm going to do the wager thing. He says, have you considered my servant Job? That's the wager. And then he says, what I waged was everything. In closing, he says, now I want to deal with the wages. For the wages of sin is death. In other words, he says, I gambled on mankind. Thank you, Lord. Adam and Eve let me down. But I gifted you, Jesus Christ. He says, now it's paid in full. Whatever it is that you desire, he says, it's paid in full. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the cross, the gift of God is eternal life. See, I don't know about you, and excuse me, don't get too holy on me, but I don't want to go to heaven and then start walking around with my golden slippers. I want to live life here and experience the goodness of God. I want to see some overflow. I want to see a week when I got some money left. I want to see 2 days behind one another when my back is not hurt. I want to see 3 days when my friends is not forsaking me. I want to see it on this earth. And God is saying, just a little TLC. He says, I love you. Do you trust me? I love you. He says, I care about you so much. I nailed my son to an old rugged cross and I did it for you. I did it for you. And he says, the only way that you can go to hell, the only way to hell, you hear me? The only way to hell, do you hear me? The only way to hell is that if you reject his love. That's it. But what if I sin? He knew that. What if I fall short? He knew that. That's the purpose of the cross. Can you be so arrogant that you say, God, I don't need you, I don't want you, I reject you? How can you be so arrogant? The person, the spirit that created you, you say, now I want nothing else to do with you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to drop your ego and submit to God and come down to this altar and say, God, I surrender to you. I need salvation this morning. I need you this morning. Will there be one this morning? You need a church home? You need to worship? worship God, you need to serve God in His house. He says, come. He says, come. He says, I have TLC for you. What you got for me? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? If you love the Lord, then surrender yourself unto the Lord. He's worthy. Would everyone here this morning not sure about your salvation? Would everyone here this morning, maybe you are, you just need a church home. It's you we ask for. It's you that we say, come, come down. I'm sure someone went to bed last night in anticipation of coming to church. And they died last night. I wouldn't trust tomorrow. I would come right now. If I'm speaking to you this morning, you come. You come. If that's you, you come. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be concerned about where my clothes. None of that. God, I just want to come close to you. I just want to get to you this morning. I'll let none of that stop me. With everyone this morning. Every other